sound like, some Viking music, don't it?
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go, gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go, let's go.
Shooting, lights out.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Shooting the Lights Out here on this lovely Monday, March 2nd. That's right. March is here. March is here, and it's finna get nasty. The madness is right around the corner. 2 weeks from yesterday, March 15th, Selection Sunday. Tournament gets underway March 19th for the men's, March 20th for the ladies. We're here. We are here. We're going into the final week of the men's college basketball hoops. The ladies finished theirs up yesterday. They'll be starting their conference tournaments. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about the men's side. I got some NBA stuff to talk about. It's not going to be a typical long show that you are usually used to from Shooting Lights Out. But like, we got information. We got things to talk about. So it won't be like a super short show, but it won't be as long as you normally used to. Nevertheless, the Playmaker down in the sideline said, thank you for watching. Thank you for tuning into this week's Shooting Lights Out here on the Playmakers Network. If you are watching on the Playmakers Network YouTube channel, hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell. If you're watching on my personal LinkedIn page, send me a connect. And then slide over to the Playmakers Network YouTube channel and hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell. Update my co-host, Cole Jones. He's doing better. He should be back between next week or the week after. So he'll be back to talking basketball with me. But for now, I'm running this solo. So we're going to have some fun here. And to do so, I do have a news article for you. I do have some news for you. So we will have Around the Hardwood. As I was going through it, there wasn't much news going on in the world of basketball. So I'm like, what can I talk about? And then I came across this article and I said, interesting. So let's go to the world of college. Trump, college leaders to tackle issues at round table. Don't worry, I'm finna read this article so you'll know what's going on. Trust me. It says here from ESPN, and shout out to Heather Dennis, who is more on the football side of the college sports, but wrote this article, and it pertains to all sports, which includes basketball. So here we go. The Power Four conference commissioners are expected to join dozens of sports celebrities and dignities on March 6th, this weekend coming up, at the White House in a roundtable discussion with President Donald Trump about the future of college athletics. Multiple sources confirmed to ESPN on last Thursday. President Trump would chair the group, and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and New York Yankees President Ryan Leaven are listed as vice chairs, according to a source who provided a list of 35 people who received invitations to this roundtable meeting for college athletics. I'm not going to go through all of them, but some of the names that you want to know who got invites, not saying they're going, but they got invites, is one, Tiger Woods, Nick Saban, Mark Brown, and Mack Brown, and Urban Meyer. I can agree with them three. They coach college football, so they know something about college sports. Former Secretary of State and CFP Selection Committee member Condoleezza Rice, which is that's another smart move. She is part of the process of selecting teams to participate in postseason stuff in college sports, mainly football. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver got an invitation to this. Fox Sports President Nick Sang got an invite to this. ESPN Chairman Jimmy Pitaro got an invite to this. former college athletes, including Florida's own Tim Tebow and Florida State's basketball and football standout, Charlie Ward. Those of you who remember Florida State back in the 90s. There's a lot more people. We ain't gonna get into all of it. Yeah, 80s invited, all type of stuff. But let's keep continuing. It's unknown whether everyone invited would attend the event, which is called the College Sports Roundtable. Multiple sources plan to attend express skepticism about how much can be done on a Friday afternoon with so many people from different backgrounds involved. One person said, quote, it's people who could be involved in helping shape the future of college athletics and some of the solutions and strategies to structure the athletic world going forward. It's so preliminary, it's hard to say anything with any sort of specificity because there hasn't been anything provided to us in writing of that sort yet. Close quote. Leaders throughout college athletics have been meeting with lawmakers on Capitol Hill for years to rally support for legislation to help regulate NIL. Despite Trump's outspoken support and multiple politicians taking stance on issues such as athletic employment, the NCAA has been unable to get a bill to the floor for a vote. This article was first reported by Yahoo Sports when it comes to this meeting. So now the president, now Capitol Hill, Washington, D.C., is now getting involved in this chaos that is the NIL, name, image, and likeness, that has been making college sports more like free agency, should I say, more like the wild, wild west of sports. It's been a chaotic thing when NIL and transfer portal become a thing. I like how they focus on the NIL. I like how they're doing that. But can y'all make sure y'all throw the transfer portal in there too? Y'all just going to real here and do this? Because it seems like we cannot convince our politicians to stay out of stuff like this. They're going to put their hands in anyway. President Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis are heading this darn meet. Why do I have politicians getting involved? I don't need you to. And anybody else that's politicians outside of Condoleezza Rice, because she is actually part of the selection committee in football, so I can give her a pass. But YouTube, orange head, and don't get me started with Ron DeSantis. Y'all look at Cole in here, because Cole will probably say the words that I need to say for me. I don't need y'all getting involved in college sports. I need y'all to worry about what the hell's going on with this country. And why are we sending bombs out to the other part of the world? I don't need y'all getting involved in sports. So y'all stay y'all behinds out of sports. Now, on the fortunate part, I can't put all this on politics because the four letters that I'm looking for, NCAA is the reason why this is happening. You know why? Because the NCAA, they don't have the balls to do what they need to goddamn do. And then, thanks to aforementioned Nick Saban, when me and Coach Johnson were doing Bear Down and Grey Down during the season, Nick Saban laid out the reason why they can't do what they should do is because they can get sued. These idiots in the NCAA has conducted themselves into a point where they can't enforce their own damn rules. How are you an entity with rules that you can't enforce? You can't enforce. How stupid can you be? So now we have to get Capitol Hill involved. You got to hit Washington, D.C. involved. The President of the United States has to get involved to help lecture and structure the college athletics, because NIL can't be figured out and transport port is out of this world. So college sports is just, hey, do whatever you want and you can't get a penalty for it. Yay! All right, because the NCAA can't do their simple ass job. just ridiculous, man. It's just really ridiculous at this point. I would love for it to not be the case, but this is where we are. So with that being said, well, how does it pertain to basketball, both men and women? Well, depending on how this roundtable would go, we want to have a way that we can have a salary cap in college sports so that you just can't throw out any type of money to all these type of players. There's a salary cap here. I know that's a problem because you got mid-majors, you got majors, and, you know, and the mid-majors, they can't compete with the majors. But, hey, same thing as professional sports. NFL got a salary cap. The top teams can't really compete. The lower level team can't compete with the high team. You just got to have to find the players who have the heart ready to rock and roll. Okay. But hey, we need a salary cap. We need to have a limit. We need to figure out the transfer portal, because if you can figure out the transfer portal and its eligibility thing, maybe that'll be a good start. We can worry about the salary cap later. But the transfer portal is more of a problem because you can be at one spot 1 year. Don't like it, transfer to another spot next year. And if you don't like that, transfer again to another spot. And if you don't like that, transfer to another spot. You only got 4 years, so you can transfer every year that you don't feel happy or comfortable where you at. Well, damn it, we need to do something about that, because you should not be able to transfer four times. You should be able to transfer one time. One time. If you play at Kentucky and you don't like the situation at Kentucky, you can transfer one time. And when you transfer that one time, you cannot transfer no more. You must finish where you're at. Okay? You shouldn't be able to play at Kentucky, don't like it, and transfer to Alabama. Yeah, you go from Alabama, you're like, Alabama ain't what I thought it was. And you transfer, you head up to Michigan State. Well, Michigan State is not what you think because I don't like the playing style. And I'm going to transfer out to UCLA. The hell? We can't keep up. And you don't look bright in doing so anyway, because you just bouncing around. Hey, what can I do? Who can pay me more? Who can play? Who can give me the style that I want to play? No. So when y'all have this roundtable this week, I need y'all to figure out the transfer portal situation. Y'all pretty sure y'all going to work about the NIL, because that's like, it's money involved, so y'all going to mess with that. Anything that involves money is going to be talked about. I already know this. But focus on transfer portal first. Figure that out. Once you figure that out, I think it'd be easier to narrow down how to legislate the NIL problem. Because if you don't find a way to legislate or figure out a structure for the transfer portal, whatever you do with NIL don't even matter. It really doesn't. So transfer portal first, and then you get to the NIL. That's just my suggestion. You may not like it because you don't know who I am. It's all good. I'm just making a name for myself. I'm at least trying to. But we'll see. All right. And that's all I got for Ron Harwood. Take a break. When we come back, we wanted a fast break. Some interesting things to get into that took place from the weekend.
Join the transporter to Hades.
Your butt and gut becomes one.
Join the reformer of hooker whores.
This is my daughter, Placenta Booty Johnson.
Join the bronze god.
Whenever you are in distress, take off your baseball cap and throw it in the air.
Join your very own superhero of broadcasting, Chris Bass.
So whatever color crayon they get, they palm it and do two circles, and that translates to, I can beat up black people.
As she takes you through the week's paces in Baseline. Live every Saturday at 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Central, 5... No, Pacific time zone people, just stay asleep when this is on live and just catch the recording. Oh, I'm sorry. Exclusively on the Chris Bass YouTube channel.
And welcome back to Shining Lights Out on this 2nd of March, as we have now hit March. So if you want to know what the title is about, we hit that time of the month when basketball starts to take off. Because March Madness is around the corner, and then you already know the NBA, they are gearing up and pushing for spots in the play-in or outside the play and actually in the playoffs. So yeah, here we go. But part of that is what we're gonna do. And that's running the fast break.
This guy is shown. Let me shut up.
Kings off the steal.
As we run a fast break here, this is going to be a fun one because some interesting results took place here, and we're doing it a little bit different. Instead of just giving you all the results, I'm picking out key results from the men's college hoop, the women's college hoop. I'm picking out the key ones. I'm not doing all of them no more. I'm picking the key ones because it's that time of year that we just need to get down to business. So we're starting out with the men first off. Michigan captures the Big Ten regular season title. They did so by going to Champaign, Illinois to take on the 10th ranked Final Nine, and they handled their business on the road, 84-70. They won each half by 7 points, which means Illinois could not lay a finger on Michigan. They couldn't. Michigan was more hungry than them. Michigan was more on the boards. They was more efficient than Illinois. Marius Johnson Jr. from Michigan, 19 points and 11 boards a day. Mara had 19 points as well with 5 rebounds to lead Michigan to the Big Ten regular season title, even though they have a whole week to go left. But when the Big Ten tournament starts next week, Michigan is your top seed in the Big Ten. And then we'll go from there. So shout out to Michigan. Shout out to Dusty May, man. I think it's what, his second or third year at Michigan. You catch the Big Ten title. You have this team rocking and rolling thus far, doing big things. So that lets you know Dustin May is a hell of a coach. What he did at Florida Atlantic is basically the same thing what he's doing at Michigan. You didn't care about it because it was Florida Atlantic. Even though he got it the Owls to a Final Four appearance. Now look what he's doing with Michigan. Dustin May. Could be one of the next legendary coaches in college basketball. Y'all better pay attention to that, man. That's amazing, doing a hell of a job. So we got our Big Ten champion crown right here for the regular season. We have the big headline right here. But let's look into a team that's surprised some people this weekend. Texas Tech makes statement in Ames, Iowa. The Red Raiders trying to figure themselves out without their star player, J.T. Toppin. They went to Ames, Iowa, and they handled the Cyclones in their own building. No, you heard me correctly. They handled. Look at the first half. It was 45-29 at halftime. And trust me, even though you see the stat, even though you see Iowa State scoring 44 in the second half, they did not come close to Texas Tech. Matter of fact, I think the closest they got was probably 5, if I remember correct, because I watched this game. I think if I remember correctly, 5 points was the closest Iowa State got in the second half. And then Texas Tech just ran right back up on them. Like, hold up, y'all stop right there. No. Y'all stay at arm's distance. Run this back up. Donovan Atwell, 18 points. 6. That's right. 6 Red Raiders scored in double figures. That is a recipe for wins, man. It is, and especially on the road. Everybody's getting involved. Everybody's sharing the ball. And Iowa State, this is kind of a bad loss for y'all. Y'all was ranked number 4 in the country. Texas Tech was ranked 16, and they handled y'all. They handled y'all pretty decently, too. Because, man, y'all didn't know what to do. I did not expect y'all to look like that against a team who don't have a star player and JT Toppin. Boy, Texas, they showed me something here. They might be a team to look out for in the NCAA tournament. If they getting their confidence like that and they playing like that without their star player, you might want to watch out for the Red Raiders in March Madness. And then the upset of the week, ladies and gentlemen, a big one. A much needed one for the team. Ohio State keep state tourney hopes alive. Ohio State came to this game hosting then eighth ranked Purdue. They did not have a top 25 win. They was looking for a quad one win. They just couldn't find one. No matter what it was, they just couldn't get it. And then Purdue came into Columbus, Ohio. And Purdue could not hang with Ohio State. Surprisingly, as that sounds. But that's what it was. CDS, Kevin Harlan, and forgot who was calling it with them, but they had a great call for this game. Ohio State, they got the needed that they won. They have a top 10 win. Their first top 10 win of the season. Their first quad one win of the season. You found the time to do it. Number 8. John Mobley Jr., 21 points. Bruce Thornton, 20 points, 5 rebounds. And Bruce Thornton, that man, he's trying his damnest to make it to the NCAA. That man has been on Ohio State for 4 years. In the first 3 years, the Ohio State Buckeye has not made the tournament. Bruce Thornton is not trying to go out of his college career never experiencing March Madness. So shout out to him. He's trying to lead this team. He's trying to get to the tournament. They still got work to do. They still got work to do because I do believe they're still on the bubble. I'll get to Joe Lenardi's bracketology. I don't have to slide for it, but I can get to it. I can look at it and tell you what he has because Ohio State, they're fighting to get in. They're fighting to get in. They are literally fighting to get in. So we'll talk about it a little bit more later on in the show just to give you an idea. But yeah. It's a big win for Ohio State, a very big win for Ohio State. So, congratulations to the Buckeyes, Purdue. Man, y'all losses been some head scratches. I ain't even gonna front. Even the losses to like Michigan and stuff, y'all just don't look good, and y'all don't look good at all in your losses. Y'all look terrible. It's like, can this team even compete when they get down to the Sweet 16 or the Elite 8? You make you scratch your head on coming to do, man. I don't know, man. Y'all have some very head-scratching performances. And quite a few of them, too. That's the men. So let's go to the ladies. Michigan secures. You started with the men. We're going to start with the ladies. The Lady Wolverine, they secured the second seed in the Big Ten tournament. Of course, we already know who's number one. That would be the UCLA Bruins, because couldn't nobody touch UCLA. And I don't think anybody's touching UCLA in the Big Ten tournament. But that's just me. But Michigan secured the second seed, taking down Maryland 69-87. It was like there was no comeback on this one. They're like, Maryland, y'all like to be down and try to come back like y'all did in Columbus against Ohio State. Michigan ain't having it. And Michigan is, I'm going to tell you this right now. The Lady Wolverines, they are not happy. They are still pissed off on what happened to them in Iowa City with the Iowa Hawkeyes. They are still mad about that game because they know they got their ass whooped. Iowa overpowered them, which you don't normally see against a Michigan team. So they are mad about that. And if they can see Iowa again in the Big Ten tournament, I think that game might be a different outcome. But back to this game. Olivia Austin, 28 points, 8 boards, 4 assists, 3 steals. That's filling up the stat sheet. Go ahead, Miss Austin. Do your thing, girl. Do your thing. But Michigan, they solidified themselves. That's the 2 seed going into the Big Ten tournament. We'll talk about the tournament later. Snowman's here. Shout out to Snowman. He says, Purdue, not Purdue. Yeah, shut up, Snowman. From Michigan securing the second seed in the Big Ten tournament to a much-needed win for Notre Dame and Louisville. Y'all do notice we haven't talked a lot about the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, right? That's because the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, they have been not themselves this year, you know. Last year, you know, you had to talk about when it comes to the ACC, you had to talk about Notre Dame because you couldn't leave Notre Dame, huh? Because that would be just stupid. This year, you haven't heard much about Notre Dame because Notre Dame ain't been on their job. Now they have a decent season. They won 20 games. But it's not the Notre Dame that we know. Notre Dame's up there with the Louisville's and the Dukes of the world and the Kentucky's and LSU's of the world. Just below, you know, South Carolina, UCLA, UConn, you know, they're in that other tier. Not this year. This year has been a struggle this year by Notre Dame standards. Okay? Been a struggle by Notre Dame standards. I mean, come on. Right now, I'm looking at Charlie Crean's bracketology from ESPN, and currently, because he updated his today, just afternoon, Eastern Standard Time, and Notre Dame's a sixth seed. When was the last time when you saw the Notre Dame Fighting Irish women basketball team? And Snowman, you probably can answer this because you live in Indiana. When was the last time you heard of Notre Dame being a sixth seed or lower going into the NCAA tournament? Coach Ivy has been doing a great job with Notre Dame. And then you had Hannah Hidalgo, you had Olivia Miles, who's doing a great job at TCU, by the way. Olivia Miles doing a great good job at TCU, by the way. But the sixth seed, it's like, ooh. You right there, you can be finding yourself in a tough first round match because them 6-11 games don't be playing. And speaking of which, I'm pretty sorry you're asking, playmaker, who will be that 11 seed if was the season was started out, according to Charlie Crean? According to Charlie Crean, Notre Dame will be facing the winner of the first four matchup between Colorado and Mississippi State. And I don't like that matchup for neither one of them. I don't like that matchup for Indiana in either situation. Just throwing that out there. But, man, it's been a rough year for Notre Dame. But they got a much-needed win. Probably a confident booster win for them. And Hannah Hidalgo's 30 big ones. A 30-piece. With a side of 10 rebounds, 7 dimes, and 5 pickpockets. Now, for Louisville, that's a bad loss for y'all because that's a top 10 win for Notre Dame. That's a top 10 upset win for Notre Dame because they ain't even ranked at all. Notre Dame wasn't even ranked in this game. Matter of fact, I don't even think they still ranked. I think they still aren't ranked. So it makes it even more of a bad loss for Louisville, who was ranked in the top 10 in this game. To lose this game at home, by the way. It was not in South Bend, Indiana. This game was in Louisville, Kentucky. So Louisville, and speaking of which, another thing when it comes to this, Louisville could not get a share of the ACC title with this loss, which means Notre Dame gave the ACC to Duke. Instead of Louisville and Duke sharing it, it's Duke's outright. Thanks to Notre Dame taking down Louisville. And that's a loss that's going to hurt Louisville. How are they going to bounce back from this loss is my question for the Cardinals. But, yeah, Louisville, they don't drop 2 spots. They would drop from 10 to 12 because of that loss. And Notre Dame is not even ranked in the top 25. They're ranked 27th. So now the ACC tournament has a little interesting to it because of the results that took place. And, by the way, Duke ended up losing to North Carolina and Chapel Hill before Louisville and Notre Dame took the court. So it was right there for Louisville to take. But you didn't have no business against Notre Dame. Shout out to Notre Dame. That's a much needed win. Hope there's a confident boost for Hannah Hidalgo and the Fighting Irish team to make a run in the tournament and look like Notre Dame. Okay, because we haven't talked about Notre Dame. It's been interesting not talking about Notre Dame, but hopefully they can look like Notre Dame. So you got your big one, you got your big one right there. And then upset. There's no bigger upset of the week than this one. Men's, women, or the NBA, there's no bigger upset than this right here. Texas A&M went to Oxford, Mississippi and took down Ole Miss. Now, some of you might be saying, well, playmate, Ole Miss has been struggling lately. I know. You got it at the bottom. Ole Miss 4-game losing streak. They lost their last 4 games at the end of the season. One being to my Lady Gators, which is a big win for my Lady Gators. Still don't help them get into the tournament, but if they can make an interesting run in the SEC tournament, they might get in. But the reason why I'm saying this is the biggest one of the week because I'm going to give y'all Texas A&M record. Because there's no way Ole Miss should have lost this game. I do not believe the fact that Coach Yoke and Ole Miss Rebel have been sliding like this ever since the loss to LSU. Texas A&M is 14-11. They are 7-9 in conference play after this game. So they went into this game 13-11, 6-9 in conference play. And you took down Ole Miss. And you see the caption of this slide. Trouble brewing in Oxford because this team is free falling. How my coach was free falling. That's Ole Miss right now. Ever since that tough loss at home to LSU with Stephen A. Smith in attendance, that was a 78-70 loss. It was a great game. You followed that up by getting your ass smacked in Columbia by South Carolina, 85-48. Y'all didn't hold a stick. I know people like to say a candle, but y'all couldn't even hold a stick towards South Carolina in that game. Because they beat the brakes off y'all. And it was bad. Once that second quarter hit, it was a done deal from that point forward. So you lost to LSU. That's a painful loss. I know because it's LSU. You wanted to get that win, and you had somebody like Stephen A. Smith in attendance. You wanted to get that dub. You didn't get it. My Lady for Lighty, she went off 26 points, part of her best game as an LSU card, as an LSU Tiger. Cody McMahon, the transfer from Ohio State, she tried everything she could, 25 points. Wasn't enough. You couldn't do jack to South Carolina. Jack to South Carolina. Then after that game, you came down to Gainesville, Florida against a woeful trying to survive Florida team. And they caught you slipping 74-67. That's three straight losses right there. McGill, my girl McGill, 28 points. You know, she gave me 6 boards and 8 assists to lead the way. Big win for the Lady Gators. They still got work to do. But that's a step in the right direction. Get a little runway into the get some run in the Southeastern Conference tournament. We might can get into the NCAA tournament. Now, if you ask some percentage, not playmaker, what percentage do you get your Lady Gators to make the tournament? 15%, maybe 20, because they really ain't do jack in the Southeastern Conference until that big win against Ole Miss. Really couldn't, like, big win. But that's still got other teams ahead of us that done more. So, be realistic, I don't see us getting in. But we got a shot. It's not completely over. And then this loss to Texas A&M. A Texas A&M team that damn sure ain't making the tournament. And they got a dub. On your home court. So you lost your last 4 games. Cody McMahon had 19 points, 9 boards, 3 assists. And y'all couldn't beat Texas A&M at home? Coach Yoke, I don't know. Y'all starting to slide at the wrong time. Y'all losing confidence at the wrong time. That is a big one. That is a big loss for Ole Miss. So, that's the lady side. Let's go to the NBA. Let's go to the professional ranks real quick. A MVP-like return for SGA in Oklahoma City. As you can see here, the SGA returned for the game against the Denver Nuggets over the weekend. SGA, 36 points, 9 assists, and a 127-121 win over the Denver Nuggets. You know, they looked at OKC looked at decent without SGA and J-Dub in the lineup, but, you know, at some point, you know, it's going to catch up with them, but with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander returning, the reigning MVP returning for that game on Friday. That was a good thing for OKC. They can continue to have a stranglehold on the one seed in the West while the Spurs is trying their best to catch them. I believe they are 3 games behind right now. SGA did his thing. SGA, I think he's still eligible for the MVP race. But it's looking like that MVP race might be one and done because Jokic missed almost the games he missed before he's disqualified. SGA is right up there, too. And then you got Kate Cunningham, who I only think Kate Cunningham has probably missed, what, probably three games? Just for rest purposes, if he did, if not. So the MVP race might be it might be one of the years with the MVP race in NBA. It might be like doesn't hold weight this year because of the 65 game rule. This is not a bad rule, by the way. It really isn't. Because you want your MVP to have a certain amount of games played to show that why he's the MVP and whatnot. But man, Cade Cunningham might win the MVP by default. And I don't think that'd be a good thing for the NBA and the fans of the NBA. If somebody just win it by default because everybody else is disqualified for it. But a good win for OKC. SGA's back. Let's see if he can stay healthy and move on. And the other game I'm looking at from the NBA from the past weekend. Wise, if you're listening, I'm shouting out your Knicks, man. Shout out to the Knicks. Yesterday afternoon to kickstart my Sunday, 1 p.m., got to watch the New York Knicks go against the San Antonio Spurs at Madison Square Garden. And the Knicks showed some moxie yesterday. The Knicks showed some toughness yesterday. The Knicks showed some fight yesterday. That's the New York Knicks people want to see. You had a team in the San Antonio Spurs come walking in here. The second team in the West, just behind OKC. They behind them by like three games. Victor Wembanyama is coming in, and he's been advertised as true. What's going to happen? Is New York going to show? The last time a big star in New York came in, Cade Cunningham came in and dropped a 40-burger on them. What you going to do, Knicks? And the Knicks showed up, man. 114-89. The defense of the Knicks was impressive, man. Hey, Victor got his. Victor Wembanyama got his, but they made sure everybody else didn't get theirs. Victor Wembanyama, 25 points, 13 boards. Everybody else, De'Aaron Fox, 7 points. Stephon Castle, 13 points. Devin Vassell, 18 points. Harrison Barnes, 3 points. Kevin Johnson, 3 points. Dylan Harper, 8 points. The defense of the New York Knicks showed up yesterday. If you're a Knicks fan like Wiser, head face Stephen A. Smith, you should be happy. Not overly happy, you should be happy because you got to see some toughness from the Knicks. You got to see some moxie from the Knicks. You got to see the Knicks play some defense for once. And it worked. Jalen Brunson, as you can see here, 24 points, 4 boards, 7 assists. Mikal Bridges! We got a Mikal Bridges sighting. 25 points, 5 boards, 5 steals is what you need. Karl-Anthony Towns, 12 points, but you got you 14 boards. He gave you 14. He was battling on the boards with Victor Wembanyama. Victor had 13. Cat had 14. Cat Williams won the rebounding battle. That's what you want from Karl-Anthony Towns. That's what you want from him. OG Anunoby gave you 12 with 5 boards. You know, doing his thing. So, hey, you know, you got what you need. You got what you need, man. Shout out to the Knicks, man. Great job yesterday. Hopefully that can be you some confidence. You know, you continue to fight with Boston for the second seed because I don't think anybody's catching Detroit. Detroit is that team that's just head and shoulders above of everybody in the East right now for the regular season part. We'll see what happens in the playoffs. But for the regular season part, the Detroit Pistons is head and shoulders over everybody right now. Now, let me go to the standings real quick. Boston is 5.5 games behind Detroit. The Knicks 7 back. Cleveland 8.5 back. So, but shout out to the Knicks. Shout out to Wise. I'm giving my boy Wise a healthy his Knicks shout out for a performance like this from yesterday. Great job by everybody involved. There's your men's recap, your women's recap, and your NBA recap of the fast break.
That this guy is
Jones. Let me shut up. Kings off the steal.
Commercial break here. When we come back, the fifth installment of Contender or Pretender.
Join Ryan McCarthy.
I became a Jets fan because Kurt the Frog was my favorite Muppet because he was green and the Jets wore green. That's how I become a Jets fan.
And Dustin Henry.
ESPN is cashing all in on let's pay a few personalities and we'll just kind of fill in the gaps.
As they walk you through all of the world of sports from their perspective.
The Albany Empire, it's a literal circus.
No credentials required. Where, Ryan, say the tag.
Where you don't need a press pass to talk sports.
Every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. On YouTube and where you can find all podcasts.
Everything Boston. I love you, you morons. You kids from the block. New edition.
Dear whatever the law firm is. Sincerely, the U.S. Supreme Court.
Ben Affleck, Matt Damon. Go f*** yourself again, Jason.
And welcome back to Shooting the Lights Out here on this Monday, March 2nd, as we went through our Around the Hardwood segment with our one news for the day. We went through our fast break in a different format. Now we get to the fifth installment of Contender or Pretender. We have done Blue Bloods. We have done Defensive Identities. We have done the Surging Tests. But this one could be very interesting. This week's Contender or Pretender, the storyline or the headline, title, whatever you want to call it, the consistency test. The consistency test evaluates whether a team's performance level is repeatable under pressure, not just impressive in flashes. I'm going to repeat that again. The consistency test evaluates whether a team's performance level is repeatable under pressure, not just impressive in flashes. Okay, playmaker, before you consider on who are our two teams for a contender or pretender, I'm glad you asked. On the men's side, we're going to the Michigan State Spartans, Wayne, and we're staking in the Big Ten because on the ladies' side, we're going to go out east, and we're going to hit Maryland. Championship teams are not defined by their best night. They are defined by what they look like every night. Every night. So let's begin with Tom Izzo and the Michigan State Spartans. So here's what we had last week. Because last week we did the Kansas Jayhawks. We substitute just a sec out and put in Kansas in that regard. As you see, I had them on the line. They're still there. There's no changes to this whatsoever. Everything is what it was last week. Didn't see any changes needed to be made thus far. Still going to stay whole pack. So my contenders are still Duke, Arizona, Michigan, UConn, Gonzaga, Florida, Iowa State, and Illinois, despite Iowa State losing to Texas Tech. Some could say you should move Texas Tech over to the contender spot. Not there yet. Not there yet. We'll see what happens the final week of the regular season And then we'll see what happens during the Big 12 tournament for Texas Tech. They might slide over to my contender spot by the time we get to Selection Sunday. Same thing with St. John's, Vanderbilt, Nebraska, BYU, Houston, Arkansas, Purdue. No, I'm not so sure anymore. Tennessee, they're trying to look like a blue blood for once. Kentucky trying to look like a blue blood for once. But the rest, but all y'all still standing in my pretenders. I don't trust y'all. So let's move on to the Michigan State Spartans. The time is up. The Michigan State Spartans from the Big Ten, currently 24-5 overall, 14-4 in the Big Ten, have a net ranking of 11. They are currently ranked 8th in the AP polls. They are tied for 2nd with Nebraska in the Big Ten, not Big 12. They have a point differential of 12. They score 78.3 points per game. They give up 66.3 points per game. They have an offensive rating of 101.8, a defensive rating of 19.6. Not bad. 14-5 in quad one and quad two games. 4-3 on the road. 2-0 in neutral site. Key wins. Early in the season, you beat then 14th ranked Arkansas 69-66. We got into the Big Ten play in a game that I did watch when you hosted Illinois, who was ranked 5th at the time. You beat them 85-82. That game went into overtime. Illinois had many chances to win that game, but they didn't come through, and Michigan State took advantage of them. And then you went to West Lafayette to take on the 8th ranked Purdue Mortlakers at the time. And you beat them 76-74. Remember I said earlier about Purdue? I think you're starting to see why. But that's a big win. Those are key wins for the Michigan State Spartans. Key game coming up. They got one this weekend, and it gets no bigger than this one. Sunday. Sunday. March 8th, Sunday. They go to Ann Arbor, Michigan, to take on the third-ranked Wolverines. What a game that's going to be. Michigan, they already comes to 1 seed for the Big Ten tournament. But I'm pretty sure Desmond May going to have them boys ready for Tom Izzo and the Michigan State Spartans for round two. Because Michigan went to East Lansing in the first meeting, and they beat the Spartans. So payback is on the mind for Michigan State for that game. And knowing Dusty May, he wants to finish the season strong. So he's going to have his boys ready for that game. This Sunday coming. Joe Lenardi from ESPN in his bracketology, he has the Spartans as a 4 seed. CBS Sports, they have the Spartans as a 3 seed. Now, there's a saying that goes when he says January, February, Izzo. Don't say March, you say Izzo. Why is that? Because for some reason, and this is pretty much part of my verdict, because for some reason, when it comes to March, Michigan State becomes the team that you somehow can't beat all of a sudden. And the way this team is playing, currently ranked 8th in the AP polls, they are finding their stride right now. They stay consistent because they are consistent. They have a certain style they want to play, and they will always play that style. One of which is being physical on the offensive and defensive end and just out-toughing you. That's a recipe in March, man. And this is what Tom Izzo does. So, yes, the Michigan State Spartans are contenders in my book. Because you just can't count out Tom Izzo in Michigan State. It is something about what he does in March that gets this team rolling. And for some reason, you can't beat them. Unless you bring out your A++ game to knock off Michigan State. Oh, they just have one of them games where they can't hit nothing. But as far as trying to out-physical them or out-hustle them, when it comes to effort, Michigan State is known for effort. And effort gets you to the Elite Eight a lot of times than not. So, yes, Michigan State is still being coached by Tom Izzo. They are for sure contenders, okay? So, here you go. Michigan State is joining Duke, Arizona, Michigan, UConn, Gonzaga, Florida, Iowa State, and Illinois as contenders. Because something about March and Tom Izzo, man. That man has that team ready. Every time they're in tournament, they are ready to go and rock and rolling. Don't matter what kind of season they had, if they get into the dance, Michigan State is a tough out. Always a tough out. So, yes, Michigan State, y'all in my contender spot. That's the men's. Standing in the Big Ten, flying out to the state of Maryland because the ladies we're going to get into. But here we are with the ladies right now. From last week, as you see, contenders, UConn, UCLA, South Carolina, Texas, LSU, Ohio State, Duke, Michigan, Iowa, and TCU. On the line, teams that I still feel they need to prove something to be contenders. North Carolina, Alabama, Michigan State, Vanderbilt, Villanova, Minnesota, and Ole Miss. Ole Miss trending in the wrong direction. And then your pretenders in my book, Kentucky, Georgia, Oklahoma, West Virginia, Texas Tech, Iowa State, Tennessee, Jesus Christ, Colorado, Arizona State, Ohio, Oklahoma State, and Virginia Tech. Maryland, where y'all at? Let's talk about the Maryland Lady Terrapins here. Shout out to Scott Van Pelt, big fan of yours. I know you love everything Maryland. From the Big Ten Conference, the Terrapins, they are 23-7 overall, 11-7 in the Big Ten. They have a net ranking of 14. They are currently ranked 14 in the latest AP polls. They are fifth in the Big Ten. They have a point differential of almost 20, 19.8. They can score at will, 82.7 points per game. And then when their defense is on, they can clamp down just 63 points a game. Defensive rating, 68.2. Offensive rating, 113.4. This is the Lady Terrapins we're talking about here. Looks good. 8-3 in quad one and quad two wins. 6-3 on the road, 2-0 in neutral site. Key wins for the Lady Terrapins. They beat Kentucky earlier in the season, 74-66. They got a win at East Lansing at Michigan State, 86-70, a nice dominant win. And the what we talked about a few weeks ago when they talked about Ohio State, that comeback win. I think they was down 19, if I remember correctly. And this game was in Columbus, by the way. Down 19, they came back to win that game. So Maryland is an interesting team. Right now, according to Charlie Cream from ESPN, they are a 4 seed in his bracketology for the NCAA tournament as it stands right now as we go into conference tournament play for the ladies. Unfortunately for me, I don't see Maryland as an Elite 18. I do not see Maryland as an Elite 18. Yeah, you got to win over Kentucky early in the season. But I feel like if you play Kentucky again, I think Kentucky can get you. Okay. Some of your losses is just, I can't get over. You lost to Illinois. You have losses to Illinois. You lost the first matchup with Ohio State, but you got them back. And of course, you got destroyed by 30 by UCLA. Then the following game after that, Iowa came in the Oquib and gave it to you. Washington beat you in double overtime. Then Oregon beat you. And then you right of the ship, you know, you got to win at Michigan State. You beat Nebraska. You beat Penn State like you're supposed to. The aforementioned win against Ohio State. Then Michigan got you back. Then Michigan got you to end the season. Which we talked about when they secured the second seed in the Big Ten tournament. Y'all have flashes of y'all can be a dominant team. And you have flashes when you're not there. I can't see that. The difference between the men's game and the women's game, the women, if they're a dominant team, they're a dominant team. UConn, UCLA, South Carolina, anybody. When they're a dominant team, they are a dominant team. There's no questions asked. UConn, UCLA, South Carolina. You want to throw Texas in there? I can debate a bit of it. You want to throw LSU in there? I can debate you a little bit on that one. But them three, when they're a dominant team, they're a dominant team. When they're up there, they're up there. There's no head-scratching losses. In Maryland, you got a handful of head-scratching losses, okay? So I don't think – all it takes for Maryland is y'all not there. and a team can snatch you in the round of 32 or the Sweet 16 with no problem. So I don't think y'all ready for that. I don't think you're ready. You're not consistent enough for me to say that you are a contending team. You're not consistent enough. I can't do it. I'm sorry. Sorry to Scott Van Pelt. Sorry to anybody that's a Maryland Terrapin fan. But the Lady Terrapins are not consistent enough for me to say that they are contenders. I can't do it. I'm sorry. So here's my update bracket for the updated graphic for the ladies here. As you can see, the contenders are still UConn, UCLA, South Carolina, Texas, LSU, Ohio State, Duke, Michigan, Iowa, and TCU. And you see Maryland down in the pretending spot, unfortunately. I don't know. We're going to see how conference champ week goes for the ladies, because Ole Miss might be joining the pretender slide. Who knows? We'll see if Vanderbilt can slide over to the contender side, one of the surprising team of the year. If they continue to roll like they are rolling, they might slide over to the contender slide. Who knows? But champ week's going to show me a lot right before the NCAA tournament. So, ladies, continue to rock and roll. Your season's not over yet. You still got to wait. You still got a chance to make statements, to make moves. But, yes, Michigan State, contenders. This time is over. Maryland, I can't do it. Y'all not consistent enough to be contenders in my book. All right, one front of Braden, one be coming back. Games to watch this week as we get out of here for the week. We'll be back.
Cool McCain.
You thought you wanted Gunther against Chad Gable, but you didn't. And I'm going to tell you why. Chad Gable would take everything that Gunther's done and bury it.
The Playmaker.
It was on sight. AJ Styles walked out there seeing LA like, oh, okay, man, we... LA Knight hopped out the car. Let's go.
Yeah! Break down everything in TNA, AEW, and all of the WWE programming. Join these two kings, Monarchs of Wrestling, live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 p.m. Central on the Play Caller Sports Talk YouTube channel.
All right, we're going to get you out of here with the games to watch, and we're doing it differently, me too. I did not list all the games here. I just put the games that I believe that are of the most importance for you to watch. And the ladies, I did differently because of this champ week. So for the men's college basketball side, you have tonight, 9 p.m. ESPN, the sixth-ranked Cyclones of Illinois. They are flying down to Tucson, Arizona, to take on their second-ranked Wildcats of Arizona, 9 p.m. ESPN. As I said, Arizona wins tonight. They captured the Big 12 regular season title. They captured the Big 10 regular season title. What happens if they lose tonight, Playmaker? They're still going to win it because they are literally two games above. They are two games above. Let me go to my standings here. All right, where we at? Two games above Houston. They are two games above Houston. Houston has to win both their games. Arizona has to lose both of their games. And Arizona ain't losing both of their games because their next game is against Arizona on Saturday, March 7th. They are not losing to Arizona. So, yes, Arizona can put this to bed tonight just by beating Iowa State and catching the Big 12 regular season title, making them the one seed in the Big 12 tournament. And then I have three games on Saturday that I think you should pay attention to. First game on the docket, 2 p.m. There's no station for this game, unfortunately, but I wish there was because this is an important game right here on Saturday. At Knoxville, Tennessee, as the 24th-ranked Commodores of Vanderbilt, They are taking on the 23rd ranked Volunteers of Tennessee at 2 p.m. Vanderbilt has been the most surprising team, both men and women, of the college basketball season. The most surprising team, because we did not see Vanderbilt on the men's side, on the ladies' side, being as good as they were this year. I mean, the men are 22-7. I think they have a spot in the NCAA tournament. I just don't know what seed they're going to be in. And Tennessee, it's been an up and down year for the Volunteers. They have not looked like the blue blood Tennessee, along with the ladies, even though the ladies are suffering a whole lot more than the men, as we once are accustomed to seeing with Tennessee. So Tennessee, they're trying to build momentum going into the SEC tournament and take that momentum, use that momentum to launch point them into the NCAA tournament. So, but this rivalry is going to be interesting. Tennessee went to Nashville and took down Vanderbilt early. I think it was like last week or something, last week or 2 weeks ago. They beat Tennessee. That was a big win for them. Vanderbilt, they want payback. But Tennessee wants to make sure that people know and understand when it comes to basketball in the state of Tennessee, it is the Volunteers, not the Commodores, that won basketball in the state of Tennessee. From 2 p.m., let's go to 5:30 p.m. on Fox. 5:30 p.m. on Fox because the Big Ten has Indiana versus Ohio State. Both teams are on the bubble watch. As of right now, Indiana is in the last four in spot. Ohio State is in the first four out spot. I think you can imagine how big this game is on Saturday. Depending on what they do during the other week with their other games. Let me see who they got. Let's go to the Big Ten schedule and see who has who coming for before they play each other. So I'm looking at it. They play again. Indiana is hosting Minnesota. I like Indiana's chances in that one in Bloomington. Ohio State, they are in Happy Valley to take on Penn State. That is on Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. on Peacock. I do like Ohio State chances to win that game. So if they can handle, if those two teams can handle business on Wednesday. Saturday's game, 5:30 on Fox, becomes a whole lot more interesting on the bubble watch here. So make sure you tune into that game to see if you're, to see who can get themselves into the tournament and who might be a NIT bow. That's a big game in Columbus. And then your nightcap, 10:30 p.m. ESPN in the Big 12. The 10th ranked Red Raiders of Texas Tech, they are in Provo, Utah to take on the now unranked BYU Cougars. Why is this game interesting? Because both teams are trying to adjust losing their star players. JT Toppin, as we mentioned earlier with Texas Tech, when they got that big upset win over Iowa State. And then for BYU, Richie Saunders out. Both Saunders and Toppin both tore their ACLs. Matter of fact, I think it's like the same week, by like probably a day or two apart from each other. I think Richie Saunders news came out first, and then next thing you know, the JT Toppin news came out. I was like, well, darn, both teams. And both teams on the road, too. Both teams highly ranked, doing good in the Big 12, and then no injuries happened. But you see Texas Tech, they're still rolling. They are ranked in the top 10 without their star player. BYU's, they've been up and down a bit since losing Richie Saunders, but don't take them for granted. 20-9 on the year. You know, their team, they'll be in the tournament, they'll be a team to be reckoned with and whatnot. But yeah, those are the games. These four games right here on the men's side are games to watch tonight. Can Arizona claim the Big 12 regular season title tonight? Or we have to do it Wednesday. And then Saturday, you have a rivalry game between Vanderbilt in Tennessee. You have a bubble game between Indiana and Ohio State. And then you have two teams that are adjusting to basketball without star players in Texas Tech and BYU. Should be some fun action on Saturday. That's the men's side. Ladies, it is all about the conference tournament. All four major conference tournaments begin Wednesday, March 4th, and they all win all in Sunday, March 8th. In the ACC, Duke is your top seed, followed by Louisville, North Carolina, and NC State. The team to watch is the fifth seed in Notre Dame Fighting Irons, getting that big win over Louisville, as we talked about earlier. Maybe that momentum can spark them to make a run in the ACC tournament. Because Let's be honest. We have seen crazy things happen on the women's side when it comes to the ACC tournament. We have seen some crazy things happen. So that's because Duke's the number one seed doesn't mean they can't get caught by Indiana. But however, I did say anything's possible. So Duke can also blow out Indiana too. But it's the ACC tournament, so those are your top four seeds, and you need to watch out for that fifth seed, Notre Dame, because that win of Louisville could spark something in the Fighting Irish that we haven't seen all season. The Big Ten tournament, your top seed, of course, the UCLA Bruins. Your two seeds, the Iowa Hawkeyes, followed by the Michigan Wolverines and the Minnesota Golden Gophers. That's right. That is not a typo. The Minnesota Lady Gophers are a top four seed in the Big Ten tournament. But the teams to watch, the fifth seed Ohio State and the sixth seed Maryland. Which Maryland team is going to show up for the Big Ten tournament? And Ohio State. Will defense be an undeniable force in the Big Ten for Ohio State, or will the top seeds of UCLA or Iowa or Michigan be too much for Ohio State? The Big 12 tournament, your top seed is TCU led by Olivia Miles. Your two seed is the West Virginia Mountaineers, followed by the Baylor Bears and the Oklahoma State Cowgirls. Your team to watch from that one, the 7 seed Iowa State. Will Audie Cooks get the Cyclones rolling like we expected them to, but haven't? Because if they do, that Big 12 tournament could get a little interesting because there's really no answer for Audie Crooks. So if she's a dominant force like she should be, and then everybody else can follow suit, Iowa State might be a tough out for these top teams in the Big 12. But if Audie Crooks is still getting in foul trouble, having trouble scoring, Iowa State could be out first game. They play just like that. So it's going to be interesting how Iowa State plays in the Big 12 tournament. And then that brings us to the Southeastern Conference Women's Tournament. Your top seed, South Carolina, Vanderbilt. That's the 2 seed. Totally the most surprising team in all of college sports. Vanderbilt, they're the number 2 seed in the Southeastern Conference Tournament. Think about that. Texas, number 3, and LSU, number 4. Teams to watch. I think you should know why I picked these two teams to watch. The 7 seed Ole Miss Rebels and the 8 seed Tennessee Volunteers. The two teams that are sliding faster than you can slide faster than a woman's breast. That's shout out to Cole Johnson, by the way. Ole Miss lost their last 4 games. Tennessee has been on a downward terror since they lost that close game to Texas at home. Both of these teams are free falling. Crazily. I mean, just surprisingly just free falling right now. Both teams are in the tournament according to Charlie Green, which is surprising to me because I think Tennessee is literally playing their way out of the NCAA tournament, if I'm being completely honest. Tennessee is 16-12 right now, 8-8 in the SEC. They have lost 6 in a row. Ole Miss has lost 4 in a row. Do any one of y'all want to right the ship before the NCAA tournament? Because you have the Southeastern Conference tournament to do so. Do any one of y'all want to right the ship? Win a game or two. You might not win the whole thing, but win a game or two. Get yourself back on the right path. Because, man, y'all two, it's ugly. It's ugly right now. It's ugly right now. And both Cali was a loss to one of the top 4 teams in the Southeastern Conference. For Tennessee, when they lost to Texas, that was it for them. They went downhill from there. And that was a very good game. That was a competitive game. You only lost by 2. But for some reason, you just couldn't get it together. And Ole Miss met you in Oxford. And Texas A&M came to your building and beat you. And then Oklahoma got you. And LSU thumped you. And then Vanderbilt came and thumped you over the weekend. It's not been fun for the Lady Vols here. And we already talked about Ole Miss, what happened to them. As soon as they lost to LSU, that was a downfall for them. So do any one of y'all want to right the ship get a couple of wins in the Southeastern Conference Tournament. You don't even have to win the whole thing. Get you a couple of wins, right the ship here, and get yourself back on the right path because it's ugly. It's been ugly. But that is your quote-unquote conference tournament preview. All conference tournaments begin on Wednesday, March 4th. They all end Sunday, March 8th. And all the ladies have a week off before Selection Sunday on March 15th to find out who they'll be playing and where they'll be going. Fort Worth or Sacramento, if I remember correctly. I think the Final Four is in Phoenix. All right. And on the men's side, I got three games for you to watch this week. Three games starting tomorrow, 7 p.m. No station that I have found yet. Detroit Pistons and the Cleveland Cavaliers, the number one team in the East versus the number four team in the East. In the land, that should be interesting. Can Cleveland show some moxie? Can Cleveland show some fight against the top team, the surprising top team in the NBA in the Detroit Pistons? Then Wednesday, ESPN to kick off your ESPN doubleheader Wednesday, 7 p.m. Madison Square Garden is the place to be. SGA and the reigning defending champions Oklahoma City Thunder take on Jalen Brunson and the New York Knicks. Some are calling this a NBA Finals preview. SGA versus Jalen Brunson. Which point guard is going to steal the show? Will we have a Chad Holmgren sighting in this game? What about Carl Anthony Towns? What he's going to do? He's been playing good ball. The numbers might not say he's playing good, but he's playing good ball. The man had 12 and 14 against San Antonio Spurs. He had one more rebound than Victor Wembanyama, who's been killing the league lately. Mikal Bridges, we had a Mikal Bridges sighting in the last game against San Antonio. 25, 5, and 5. 5 rebounds and 5 steals. The Knicks show defense against the Spurs. What you going to do against the defending champs? SGA's back. That's 30 points right there. Jay Brunson, he's known for scoring 30 points. So that should be Wednesday should be a fun game to watch. Should definitely be a fun game to watch. And then Thursday on Prime Video, 10 p.m., the nightcap with the doublehead on Prime Video. The Los Angeles Lakers, they are in a Mile High City to take on the Denver Nuggets. We have seen this play out in playoff series when Denver has been owning the Lakers. That's when they had Anthony Davis. Now, Luka Doncic is part of the Lakers. LeBron James is still there going hard in his 23rd season in the league. I don't even care how many years he's been in the league anymore. But can they do something in Denver against Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, and the Denver Nuggets? Do something that they haven't been able to do. Beat the Denver Nuggets. There's a big one in that one in the West because right now the Denver Nuggets are the fifth seed in the West and the Lakers are the 6th seed in the West. Let me see. How many games apart they are? Denver holds a half a game on the Lakers right now. So that game is very interesting because of a win by the Lakers and Denver, and they become the 5th seed, and Denver drops to the 6th seed. This is a very important game for on Thursday night. March 5th. All right. I think I like what I'm seeing here. But there you go. And those are the games for you to watch this week as we get closer to Selection Sunday and we get closer to the NCAA tournament. We have Champs Week for the ladies this week. Next week will be Champs Week for the men. And then we'll be all set, ready to go. We are creating a pool. Or a league, should I say, what do you want to call it, on ESPN Tournament Challenge for the NCAA Tournament for men and women. So we will be posting that very soon on our socials, and we'll have the link for you in the show notes as well. So, but thank you for tuning in. If you're watching on the Playmakers Network YouTube channel, again, hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell. If you're watching on my personal LinkedIn, go ahead, connect with me on LinkedIn to then slide over to the Playmakers Network YouTube channel, hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell. And keep up with everything that we do here. It's tournament time. It's March. The madness is here. It's about to be on and popping in basketball this month. So get ready for the fun, the craziness, and the shocking moments that are finna come your way this month going into April. And speaking of which, in about a little more than 90 minutes, Monarchs are wrestling. Myself, Kool McCain, recapping the Elimination Chamber. We are officially getting our cards set for WrestleMania. There's a lot of things to be discussed on what happened at Elimination Chamber. Things to discuss on what can take place at WrestleMania. So check us out right here on the Playmakers Network YouTube channel and the Real Play Cards Sports Talk channel on YouTube as well. For the Playmaker down there, Sons, on behalf of my co-host Cole Johnson, who should be back next week, we bid you adieu for this week's Shooting Lights Out.
You've done good. You've done great. But you can't stop here. You can't stop now. You gotta keep going. Through all your trials and your tribulations, you gotta keep pushing. Now, finish your campaign.
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that bitch again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go. Gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the floor. Cause that's the only